Chapter 19, The Weekend, Saturday. Melissa awoke from her troubled sleep, plagued by recurring nightmares of the previous day's events. Being locked in a cage, secured in the cruel restraining device, subjected to invasive probes, and losing control of her bladder under the threat of a cattle prod. She listened for any footsteps, but there weren't any. She had been cycling in and out of sleep, each time waking up in a sweat with her heart racing. The faint light of dawn seeped through the high windows. Thirsty, she uncapped one of the water bottles and drank. She then moved to the bucket to pee. As she did, memories flashed back to the previous day's ordeal, particularly the moment when Killian had jabbed her with the cattle prod. The sudden shock had sent her into a panic. Even now, just thinking about it made her heart race. It wasn't just the pain from the cattle prod that disturbed her. The sting was sharp and unpleasant. It was the violation of having to urinate into a cup under someone's supervision in an exposed environment. She had attempted to block out her surroundings, convincing herself of some semblance of privacy to allow her body to relax and urinate. The cattle prod's shock, therefore, was all the more jarring, and part of her panic stemmed from her involuntary loss of bladder control in full view of others. Melissa's fingers traced the outline of the collar, thinking about how this was locked on her neck for 3 days now. She couldn't wait for it to come off. She was still not used to it, and it was such a strange idea that she had this piece of steel locked on her neck that she couldn't remove. She wondered how long she would be forced to wear this. If Arbeck didn't find a way to get her out, it would be locked on her for another 11 days around her throat. 11 more days. When she agreed to the ruse, she could not have imagined in her wildest dreams that she would be locked in a collar for 2 weeks. The same when she had been forced to strip off all her clothes. It might be 11 days before she got a chance to put some clothes on if Arbeck couldn't get her out of here. She was usually not naked for longer than the duration of a shower. She tried to remember what the longest had been. That must have been when she had tried to sleep naked. It would have been from around 11 in the evening until 7 in the morning, so 8 hours of nudity. She didn't manage to stick with the practice because she got cold easily. Whenever a part of her had not been covered by the blanket, it would get cold. She did not like it, so she only slept naked the one time. Now she was already naked for 3 days straight. At least here it wasn't cold. She was always surrounded by warm air. When she was done peeing, she got up. As she was naked, there was no garment to pull up. Just as there had nothing to undress when she had sat down to pee, they hadn't given her anything to wipe, so she went to the bars and stood there waiting for the residual moisture to dry. She gripped the bars and felt the cool steel against her palms. The barn was quiet, and she could see the morning light in the window on the ceiling above. Her hearing felt sharp, and she thought she could hear footsteps and some commotion far away, but no one was entering the part of the barn she was in. Melissa touched her ear tag. The pain was gone, the swelling had subsided, and although it was mildly uncomfortable when she tugged at it, the discomfort was bearable. She examined the tag, searching for any way to remove it, but the metal rod that had pierced her ear was surrounded by hard plastic. Glancing across the aisle, she noticed a sheep in the diagonal stall watching her. She reached her hand through the bars in a friendly gesture, waving to capture its attention. The sheep, disinterested, lowered its head and ambled away. Melissa then scanned the other stalls, hoping for some companionship, but the other animals were indifferent to her presence. None paid her any attention. Melissa enjoyed the peace. Yesterday had been stressful for her. She didn't like that she was caged like this, but at least no one was picking her up today to poke her in her private places. Her stomach grumbled with hunger, but she had already eaten all the food left for her the day before. She'd have to wait for someone to come and feed her again. Returning to her bed, She lay down with little else to occupy her time. She turned to masturbation, using the calm after her climax to lull herself back to sleep and escape the tedium. She woke up again when she heard the door to the barn open. There was some noise, but she couldn't see the source from her stall. She heard doors creaking and the sound of water spraying. The workers continued their tasks, and as they drew nearer, she could observe their activities from her stall. They were opening each pen, removing the old hay, and then hosing down the floors to clean them. Eventually, they reached her stall. One of the men glanced at her and grinned.
"Room service,"
he called out. He approached and said,
"Stand at the bars."
Melissa complied, moving to the bars. He pulled out handcuffs and instructed,
"Extend your hands out of the stall."
She stretched her hands through the bars, and he cuffed them with one bar between her wrists, which prevented her from pulling back and forced her to stand at the bars of her stall. He then opened the door, collected the empty food containers, and placed them in the wheelbarrow with the other trash. He removed her bucket, setting it outside her stall, before entering with a hose to wash down the floor. Melissa watched from her restrained position as the cool water flowed around her feet into the gutter that ran along the corridor. Next, he sprayed Melissa from behind while she was still locked to the bars. Despite the water's coolness, she didn't mind. It was a refreshing relief from the barn's warmth. Not once since her enslavement has she been able to clean herself. She has only been cleaned by others, and then in ways more demeaning than she could have imagined when she was free. He sprayed her hair, then her body from head to toe.
"Spread your legs,"
he commanded. The order still felt incredibly rude to Melissa, but she complied, and he parted her butt cheeks with one hand and directed the spray there. Melissa kept her eyes on the ground, silently hoping for this to end soon. As the water hit her anus, she vowed to herself that once free, she'd never take a private shower for granted again. She would savor every moment. Then he tugged her back by her hair, stretching her arms as far as the cuffs allowed. He sprayed her armpits, breasts, abdomen, and vagina. After that, he left her standing there, water dripping off her. While the first man was busy, the second man removed the mattress from Melissa's bed and carried it out of the barn. The first man then took the bucket and walked away, leaving Melissa handcuffed to the bars, dripping wet. Eventually, the first man returned with the bucket, placing it in a corner of her stall. He also had a roll of toilet paper.
"You should have had this for hygiene,"
he said, pointing it out. Melissa replied,
"No one gave me one. I didn't know I could have toilet paper. I'm so used to not having any rights. I didn't know what I could ask for."
"You should have asked. Obviously, everybody needs toilet paper,"
he retorted. He moved on to the next stall to continue his work. The second man came back with a fresh mattress and placed it on the bed. Then he left, closing Melissa's stall door behind him. He intended to uncuff her but was called away by the first man who needed assistance. Only after they finished with the adjacent stall did he return to release her from the bars. Melissa was frustrated at being left standing there so long, but said out of obligation,
"Thank you, sir."
The warmth of the barn, combined with the moisture from the hosing, turned the barn into a humid, almost steamy environment. Melissa pressed her head against the bars, trying to catch a glimpse of what was happening at the next stall, but the walls extending past her bars blocked her view. She paced around her stall for a bit before lying down on her bed with the fresh mattress. Eventually, the men finished their work in all the stalls and left the barn. Later, a man came into the barn with a wheelbarrow to refill the animals' troughs, a routine Melissa had observed the previous day. Starving, she was thrilled at the prospect of being fed soon. When he arrived at her cage, she positioned herself by the feeding hatch. He pushed 3 food containers and 6 water bottles through the slot. Melissa was hungry and opened one of the containers. Inside were bell peppers, stuffed with cooked lentils, brown rice, and mushrooms. She began eating, her mind wandering to the salted peanuts she had enjoyed from Killian's hand the day before. Oh, she would love to have those again. She drank water from one of the bottles to wash down her meal. No one else visited the barn during the day, and it remained quiet, with only the occasional animal noise disturbing the peace. Melissa had expected someone might come to take her outside for some fresh air and a walk, but no one did. There was nothing to do. During the long hours of the day, she masturbated occasionally and ate the other meals. She spent most of her time lying on her bed. She thought about Arbeck and his friends, wondering what they might be up to. Were they still working on getting her out, or were they enjoying themselves? With some dread, she considered what would happen the following week. No one had given her details, but she knew one thing for sure. Killian would be practicing anal and vaginal swabs on her. She had despised that procedure. She had loathed every aspect of it. She hated the restraining device that kept her in that uncomfortable, humiliating position. She hadn't even known such devices existed until she arrived here. She hated that a man was performing it. And of all people, Killian, a young man her age, the one who had zapped her for fun with his cattle prod, was practicing his examination techniques on her. She hated having her vagina pried open for others to gawk at. And the anal swabs were even worse. Nothing was supposed to go in there. No one should see it. It was delicate tissue, and this guy would be pushing his cotton swabs deep inside her. Until the head nurse was satisfied, he had done everything correctly. She would have done anything to avoid those cotton swabs, to not feel the intrusion. But the restraining device was made of hard steel, holding her tightly so that any attempt at movement caused it to bite into her painfully. Thus, she had no choice but to do her utmost to remain still if she wanted to avoid the pain. And Killian, who would be performing this procedure on her, was probably enjoying himself at the beach right now, as she had overheard him telling a colleague. Meanwhile, she was spending her weekend locked in her stall in the barn. He was likely having a lie-in and drinking coffee in the morning, while she had been cuffed to the bars and hosed down. She watched the light in the windows above slowly fade until it grew dark. She hadn't done much that day, but as night fell, she still felt tired and went to sleep. Sunday. Melissa awoke once more and went through her usual morning routine of urinating. This time she had toilet paper, which allowed her to clean herself. She returned to bed. As it got brighter, she got up again and did some stretching exercises, attempting some push-ups to keep her muscles active. She recalled her past yoga classes and tried to replicate the poses she remembered. She came to realize she enjoyed the liberating sensation of being unclothed. She had heard of nudists who embraced nudity for the feeling rather than for sexual reasons. Previously, she hadn't considered this lifestyle. The thought of undressing publicly just for the experience had been foreign to her. She wouldn't have wanted anyone to believe she took pleasure in nudity, as it didn't fit her self-image of propriety. However, in this place, nudity was not a choice, but an imposition. Although she loathed her enslavement, it relieved her of the burden of choosing nudity, enabling her to experience a certain joy in it. She wouldn't have felt this way when initially stripped, but now on her fourth day without clothes, the initial shock of humiliation had lessened, and she began to understand the pleasures that nudists might find in their practice. Arbeck had always enjoyed seeing her without clothes. Even after they had sex, he would mischievously stop her from getting dressed by snatching away the garments and nudging her back onto the bed to keep her unclothed. In the past few days, she had been seen naked by more people than at any other time in her life, which had begun to desensitize her. Perhaps this was beneficial, the feeling of liberation it brought, especially since Arbeck liked it too, made her decide to continue this practice even after he freed her from being a slave. She might spend more time naked in his company, and they would both enjoy it. Two men entered the barn. They were replacing the hay on the floor, working more efficiently than the day before, only updating the hay in select stalls. When they got to Melissa's stall, they cuffed her to the bars once more, and she was hosed down like the previous day. One of the men removed her bucket, leaving her tethered to the bars until he returned. Upon his return, he set the empty bucket back in a corner, closed her stall door, and released her from the cuffs. Later, the barn door swung open once more, and two men began distributing food. Although she tried to maintain composure, her stomach anticipated the meal, making her hungry. By the time they arrived at her stall, she was keen to be fed, standing at the bars in anticipation. When the man with the food containers approached, she was at the food slot, eager to receive them as soon as they were passed through the feeding slot. After they finished distributing food throughout the barn, she watched them leave down the corridor while she sat on her bed next to the bars. She was left alone in her stall. She wondered if that was all that would happen. Would no one come to take her out? It seemed she would spend the weekend locked in her stall. But then again, none of the animals had been let out either. They were all confined to their stalls, waiting to be further processed on Monday. She thought about calling out to see if anyone would respond, with the intention of requesting to be let out. Melissa was restless. She couldn't just lie down on the bed all day. She wanted to pace around her stall, but it was too small for that. She needed to move. She did some jumping jacks, but they made her sweat, and she had no way to clean herself. She would have to wait until the next day to be hosed off again. Boredom clawed at her, pushing her to consider calling out for someone to release her. The thought of being locked away for the entire weekend, utterly alone, was maddening. She strained her ears, hoping for any human sound beyond the animal noises that surrounded her. The fear of punishment for creating a disturbance made her hesitate, but desperation overcame her caution. She called out tentatively, her voice weak with the hope of being heard. But there was only silence. She then raised her voice and called out again, waiting for any sign of acknowledgement. Still, there was nothing. The animals gave her fleeting glances before dismissing her as no threat. She was just another caged creature like themselves. She reflected on how just 4 days ago she had been free, never confined to any space, able to go outside whenever she wished. Now, after being locked in this cell for so long, the loss of that freedom gnawed at her spirit. She vowed to herself that she would never take her freedom for granted again. Losing her freedom had taught her its true value. In her confinement, freedom was all she longed for. Once she regained it, she would value her liberty. Melissa's thoughts drifted to Killian, likely enjoying the sun at the beach, while Arbeck and his friends were probably having their own fun somewhere else. Here she was, confined within her 3x3 meter cell, where her cries went unheard. The stark contrast between their lives struck her as absurd, a bitter irony that brought a wave of mirthless amusement. She felt the urge to laugh, but the laughter that bubbled up inside her was devoid of joy, so she suppressed it. Melissa went to the bars and did some squats. She couldn't lie on the bed all day. She felt sad of what had become of her. She was young and should be enjoying her life with her boyfriend. Instead, she was locked away in isolation for an entire weekend. She hadn't seen anything but the inside of her stall the entire weekend. And when she would be let out on Monday, it would be to bring her into the White Hall so Killian could clamp her down with this torture device and practice his demeaning examination techniques on her. Melissa felt despair. She was going to be here for 2 weeks. Was that what they would be like? She was already losing her mind after only 4 days. She would have another week of torturous medical procedures ahead of her, and then another weekend in solitary confinement like now. She pondered if she would emerge from this place unchanged, or if it would break her in some fundamental way. She herself couldn't do anything to expedite her getting out of the health office. She had no influence on anything that would be done to her here. Apparently, they could just lock her in her stall for the weekend, and she just had to accept it. Her helplessness infuriated her. She pulled and pushed the bars of her stall as hard as she could. She wanted to kick them, but naked as she was, she would have hurt herself, so she stopped herself. She sank to her knees. Kneeling was uncomfortable on the cement floor, so she sat down instead and leaned against the bars with her back. Her hair, damp with sweat, clung to her face, her gaze fixed on the wall, a hollow emptiness filling her. "How did this happen to me?" she thought bitterly. She regretted the slave ruse so much. If she had never met Arbeck, she wouldn't be in this mess. Her ex-boyfriend would never have led her into such foolishness. He had never gotten her into any trouble. She reminisced about him. They had met in school, been together for years, and her parents had liked him. They had hoped the two would have a future that would bring them grandchildren. Life with her ex was simple, but the spark had faded. She had stayed out of habit, but she had been bored. Melissa had felt suffocated at home, under the watchful eyes of her overbearing parents. They had not allowed her to grow into her own person, questioned the choices she made, and wanted to control every aspect of her existence. When her mother started talking about her having babies with her boyfriend at the time, it made her feel she was heading for a future in which her life would be controlled as well. Upon graduating from school, Melissa secured a place at a university in another town. When she moved, people saw her as dedicated, sacrificing the closeness with her boyfriend and her family. She let them believe this narrative, but in truth, moving was her liberation, not a sacrifice. It was her first taste of real freedom. University life was like a breath of fresh air. Not because of the lectures, they were boring, but because she enjoyed her newfound independence, her relationship with her housemates, and the absence of her parents' controlling presence. She avoided trips back to her hometown, realizing she didn't miss the stifling environment or even her boyfriend at the time. This revelation was initially surprising. But as time passed, she began to envision a life without him. With her attractiveness, she was invited to parties, but she didn't sleep around, she simply liked to meet new people. Then Marcus came along. She gave him a chance and went on a few platonic dates with him to see if he would make a good next boyfriend. Marcus had wanted more, but he had reminded her too much of her boyfriend at home, and she was looking for something different. So she couldn't commit. It was then that Arbeck walked into her life. Arbeck was the opposite of her boyfriend. Not only was he black, but he was fun, vibrant, an excellent dancer with rhythm, unlike her boyfriend's awkward attempts. Arbeck was always up for going out. He never said that he was tired and wanted to stay home like her boyfriend. And his physique alone sent shivers of excitement through her. And so the two contenders to be her next boyfriend were Arbeck and Marcus. She had to make a choice between them. Marcus was too similar to her current boyfriend, and she wanted to experience something else. So she chose to be with Arbeck, and she stopped seeing Marcus. She also ended the relationship with her boyfriend, telling him that they had drifted apart, and it was time for them to move on. But here in Grabesh, she realized Arbeck had other contrasting qualities. He didn't think things through like her ex and wasn't as intelligent. And without a loving bond, she worried he might abandon her. He had promised to rescue her the day before, which was like a lifeline to her. But without a strong emotional connection, her anxiety about relying on him persisted. She felt tired, and although it was still daylight, she went to her bed and laid down. She managed to fall asleep eventually. When she woke up again, she could tell from the orange glow on the ceiling that the sun was setting. She got up and had another container of food. She went to the bars and called out again for someone to come for her. This time she called as loud as she could. She was unsure if she could be punished for this, but she was willing to risk it for a chance at fresh air, for a brief escape from her cell. Her cries echoed back unanswered. She fervently hoped her parents would never learn of her enslavement. If they did, they'd force her to return home and never allow her to leave again. They would use this incident as leverage against her for the rest of her life. Any disagreement with her choices would be met with reminders of where her decisions had led. No, she decided, her parents must remain oblivious to this disaster under all circumstances. She remembered the nude photos taken of her on Friday from various angles. They informed her these images would be stored in her file, accessible to anyone who scanned her chip, along with her medical records. She realized it was even worse. Her file could also be accessed via the ID on her ear tag. It didn't even need to be scanned. Anyone who saw her ear tag could read the ID. And if they knew what it meant, they could get her medical data and naked pictures of her. She knew she had to somehow remove that ear tag before anyone back home could see it. If anyone found out that she had been enslaved here, they might try to get hold of these pictures, and she would never recover from that. No one at home could know what had happened here. If people found these pictures and they got to her parents, she couldn't even imagine the nightmare she would be in. If she had stayed with her ex-boyfriend, this would never have happened. If she had chosen Marcus over Arbeck, this would also never have happened. She understood that it had been her urge to break away from her old life and her inexperience that had led her here. But she was over it now. Once she was back in England, it would be too late to revisit things with Marcus. He hadn't taken it well that she had rejected him. But next time someone like him came around, she promised herself she would be open to him. She had learned her lesson here, she told herself. No one came for her, and it got darker. Melissa was alone in her thoughts, and eventually she fell asleep for the night.